and time is all we got, people. I hope you're satisfied with space and time. I can't offer you anything else. I can offer you space, and I can offer you time. I can offer you time and space. I can switch it up and offer you space and time. But there's nothing else for now. We don't know anything. God hasn't revealed anything more to us. Some people are dissatisfied with space and time. Martin, we want more. Transcend. Go beyond the veil. Well, I'd like to, but I can't. Sorry about that. I can't transcend space. I can't transcend space and time at this time. Get it? At this time. That was a little space and time joke. All right. You know, some people want more than the Bible. Martin, have you heard of the, you know, Gospel of Thomas or the Gospel of Judas, the lost Gospel of Billy Bob? No, I don't know about any of those things. Like, you've already exhausted the 66 books we have, the divinely inspired, amazingly ordered, structured, divinely arranged. You've got that figured out. You want more, huh? You got that? Yeah, we'll figure out these, all right? Then we'll talk about the lost book of Billy Bob. All right, space and time. God has a space highway, and he has a time highway. The space highway is the tabernacle layout. I called it a system. Maybe I should have called it a layout. It sounds kind of anti-spiritual, but it's a layout. And we have a time highway known as the eons. And again, our clue is a worldly holy place in Hebrews 9:2, and a parable. The tabernacle is a parable for the present period in all its alliterating glory in Hebrews 9:9. All right, the tabernacle, the temple layout has five sections. You have outside the camp, then you have the camp, then you have the court. That's when you pass through the gate and you get into the court. Then from the court is the what you would call the temple proper. You have the holy place, and then you have the Holy of Holies. You got the outside the camp, inside the camp, the court, the holy place, and the Holy of Holies. Likewise, we have five eons. Eon 1, God created the heavens and the earth. But the earth became a chaos and vacant. That was called the disruption of the world. When it became a chaos and vacant, it was disrupted. And not the foundation of the world, the disruption of the world. That began Eon 2. God starts to recreate the earth at Eon 2. Eon 2, we see the recreation of the disrupted earth, Genesis 1:3. And the Spirit of God vibrates on the surface of the water, brings forth the land, the life. Here comes Adam. Here comes Eve. That's all happens in Eon 2. Eon 2 goes up until the flood. Each eon ends with a cataclysm. Each holy place has a wall in between it. There's a separating thing. There's a border. With the eons, it's a major catastrophe, you might say. Eon 2 ends with the flood of Noah. There are three earths within the five eons and the five worlds. We have worlds, cosmos. We have eons, and we have earths. There are three earths. We are on the same earth Noah walked out of. The disruption ended the first earth. We're on the second earth. The third earth doesn't happen until the new heavens and new earth in Revelation chapter 21. Okay, eons and worlds, the arrangement correspond, and there are three earths that exist during that time. Now, we're in the third eon. There's got a fourth eon. I didn't get into this much yesterday. There's an eon to come. Jesus referenced that. It's the 1,000 years. And there's a fifth eon. It's the holiest eon of all. It's what God's working toward. That comes after the 1,000 years. It lasts a lot longer than 1,000 years. We don't know how long it lasts. If I knew, I would tell you. But I don't know. I'm not holding out on you here. All right, now we see a correspondence between the eons and the tabernacle. And this is really interesting. There's a correspondence. Now, the first eon, we don't know much about that. I'm comparing now the first eon to outside the camp. The first eon, very little said in Scripture about that first eon. We know that God created the heavens and the earth, and it became a chaos and vacant. Likewise, we have no real revelation of God outside the camp, do we? Remember, God let the nations go their own way. This is where the nations are. They're outside the camp. And the nations did not get a revelation of God. A revelation of God was given to Israel. And now when we start talking about Israel, we're getting closer to the holy place. Now we have a wall and we get inside the camp. Now, I will say this about the first eon. We were chosen before the disruption of the world. Not the foundation, the disruption. The disruption of the world ended eon one. We were chosen in Christ before that. And we were also chosen before the eons, if you want to get technical about it. So our place is really outside the camp of Israel. You see, we were chosen in him before God even put the tabernacle layout in the mind of Moses, gave it to him via messengers on Mount Sinai. We were chosen before that. So we don't need to go through the tabernacle system. We're not Israelites. Even if we are, we're like Paul, and we've forsaken and counted as refuse our national identity. Peter didn't do that. Paul did. So the tabernacle system isn't for us. People get all woohoo about the feasts and all that stuff. That's all Israel stuff. We were chosen before the disruption of the world. That corresponds in this parable to outside the camp. We don't need the camp of Israel. I mean, I thank God for it. It's an illustration, a picture of what Christ was to become for that nation, but he's so much more. He didn't just die for one dusty piece of real estate in the Middle East. He died for the entire world, for all humanity, not just all humanity, but celestial beings as well that are estranged from God and need reconciled to him. So in space, as well as in time, we're dealt with on distinct lines from Israel. We were chosen before the eons, before the disruption. That takes us into the time realm before that. And we're also distinct from them in that we don't have to travel this tabernacle path from east to west, from outside the camp, the court, the holy place, and the Holy of Holies. Now, interesting, the bride of the Lamb, they're chosen from the disruption. This corresponds to the beginning of the camp, the beginning of the camp here, from the disruption. That is the introduction of Eon 2. And in Eon 2, we're looking at the camp. Second Eon, from the disruption to the flood, okay? This is the scene of sin. We now have sin in the world. Adam and Eve, they sinned. But we have no means yet of covering or cleansing it. So the camp is actually peopled with sinners who had to go through it. They had to go through the camp to get to the sacred enclosure. That's where sin starts to be dealt with. And as you go through the tabernacle layout, you're getting closer to God, and you find out what you have to do to approach him or to settle for your sins, because there's stuff you had to do. All right, Eon 2, Noah lived. In Eon 2, there's no sacrifice for sin yet. The Messiah has not been manifest, so we don't know what God's going to do about it yet. Well, he destroyed all humanity and all animals. Everything that took breath destroyed it with a flood. But that doesn't deal with sin, does it? It's just like the way I used to clean my desk. I used to just take my arm and wipe out everything on my desk. I'm sorry to say I did that once in a while. I get so frustrated with a mess on my desk, I just take my arm and shove it, and it was fantastic. All of a sudden, my desk was clean. The floor looked like hell, but I said, I'll deal with the floor later. At least my desk is nice. So that's what God did with the second earth, which we're still on, by the way. He swept it clean in the days of Noah. Clean slate. Going to do that again at the end of this eon. The end of this eon is not going to bring forth a new earth. It's going to regenerate the present earth. It's not until Revelation 21 and the conclusion of eon 4, namely the 1,000 years, that we get a new earth. So now let's enter the third eon, because this is where things get interesting. Now we're in the court. This is the present world. This is interesting and applicable because this is the world you live in, the present world, the present eon. We have two pieces of furniture, if you will, in the court, and that is the altar and the laver. Now you're going to notice something. The closer you get to the Holy of Holies, the fewer people allowed in. We're talking about a sacred enclosure here. Now, the deepest glory of God, you're not going to find that in this court. You have to go behind curtains and coverings. And you're sure not going to find a lot of the glory of God outside the camp or in the camp. These things, the secret things, are hidden from the world at large. And in fact, you're not going to find humanity really knowing God until the next eon. That is eon 4, the 1,000 years. That's where we're going to see a true unveiling. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here. But we have the altar and the laver. The altar was where all the animals went, the sacrifices. All right, this is, we're talking eon 3. Okay, outside the camp, eon 1. Not much of a revelation of God. Not many people know about God. We're getting in the camp now. Getting in the camp. Now we're starting to move toward Israelite things. We're starting to understand that there's sin, but we don't know how to deal with it yet. Now we're getting into the court. That's where the altar is. Finally, there's a sacrifice for sin. That's Aeon 3. It was in this aeon that Jesus Christ was crucified. The brazen altar in that court represents Jesus Christ. Again, we're not yet seeing all the glory. We're just seeing the means of the covering for sin. And actually, it was presented as a covering with the sacrifices, but with Christ as more than a covering, he actually takes it away. Now, the fourth aeon, which is future. Everything I've described is up to the present day. We're in the third aeon. First aeon, second aeon are our past. Now we get to the holy place, the millennium, the thousand years. Now we have only priests. I talked about that earlier this week. Only the priests are allowed in the holy place. This represents the coming aeon. You have the showbread there, 12 cakes of bread representing the sustenance that Israel is going to finally provide for the world. That's what they're meant to do. And yet, they can't even take care of their own selves. But in the millennium, they're going to be the distributors of God's grace and glory and his sustenance. And also there, you have the lampstand. That's divine light. And we talked about that. There's much darkness over the earth and the peoples now. But in that day, the earth is going to be covered with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. And I think I told you there were 12 arms on that thing. I was thinking of the 12 bread. There's seven branches on that candlestick there, if you want to call it that. And it suggests, well, seven, the number of perfection. So it definitely suggests the divine presence and that perfection has come to earth. Well, pretty close to it. This is complicated. Seven, perfection. Yeah, seven is perfection, but I used to think that the millennium was heaven and that it was perfect, but there's people still dying there. There's a place of capital punishment, namely Gehenna, where the corpses of criminals are going to rot. Read Isaiah chapter 66. But we're doing pretty good. It's the 12 cakes and the seven-armed lampstand. And, of course, 12, we're all over that, right? 12 tribes of Israel. And they're going to provide sustenance and light to the entire world. And then you have the altar of incense in the tabernacle. What does that represent? Worship and praise. Altar of incense. Smells good. Sweet savor to God. And the world is going to be worshiping Christ finally. Now they curse him. Even Christians curse him. Now they whitewash it. They sing praises to him, but they don't know him. They sing praises about how great he is and how wonderful he is and how he saves everybody. And then they teach eternal torment. So they're a pack of hypocrites. If anybody likes to read the Psalms, all right, the Psalms of David are going to find their full expression when Jesus Christ, who is David's greater son, rules on the throne during that thousand years. All right, I'm saving the best for Monday. I thought I was going to get through this today. I'm not too good at that, am I? So on Monday, we're going to talk about Aeon 5. We'll review, and then we're going to talk about the fifth aeon, which corresponds to the Holy of Holies. A lot of cool stuff happening there. I already suggested some of it to you earlier this week. I'm going to nail it for you. And then on Tuesday, I'm planning on telling you about the lost 10 tribes of Israel. If you never heard of them, you're going to on Monday. Have a great weekend.